Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today I have Sharon Hawthorne. Now Sharon is an author and a writer, and she's been doing that for over two decades. She worked as a writer and editor and published in various fields within newspapers, magazines, and books, including advertising, feature writing, marketing, communications, book editing, and author mentorship. So Sharon has recognized that without experience, navigating the self-publishing world and writing a manuscript from scratch could be overwhelming. So she developed Manuscript to Marketplace. I love alliteration, Sharon. That works so well for me. To create a space for new and experienced writers to produce high quality books through tailored mentoring programs and professional publishing services. As an author myself, I love the idea of other people getting stories out there. I always enjoy reading other people's stories or their expertise, and then I'm a particularly big fan of fiction as well. I've always got at least three books on the go at any one time.
Me too. It's like watching a series on TV, isn't it? One chapter here one day, one chapter here the next day. I love that too.
And Sharon had a little prize giveaway the other day, and it was a book, and it was Hale and Hardy. Mm. I did that every night, just read a chapter of it. It was such an easy read. I really enjoyed it. And I always love books that are set in Australia. And this one was sort of a non-fiction, but with a hint of fiction in it as well.
I think it was a fictionalized tale of a real life doctor.
Yeah.
So he may well have elaborated on a few stories.
I certainly think so, or I hope so anyway.
Hope so, yes. Yes.
Sharon, the writing books, or it's really daunting for people to even think that they can do it, or where would they start?
It is very daunting, and that is where Manuscript to Marketplace came about, because I changed my company name recently from the Hawthorne Collective, and I wanted to do exactly what I said on the tin. So I take your manuscript to the marketplace. And so I spoke to so many people who, if I had a pound for every time someone had said to me, I want to write a book. I'm going to write a book one day. I will write a book one day. But they don't know where to start, and they don't know what to do. And they may have a great story, but they're not a writer. And even if they are a writer, I do actually work with professional writers who are copywriters or feature writers, but actually put in 60,000-70,000 words together is a completely different game. So I developed these mentorships and training programs so we can start at the beginning and we can start together. So, you know, the first session is always around, what do you want to write? Who is your audience? How are you going to reach them? What is it you want to say? And then we take it from there over the next 12 weeks. And what happens is they have a manuscript that they're ready to develop and produce produce a book. And it's really very exciting for me. I get very excited about it. Geeky.
It is exciting, one, to recognize that you've accomplished something. I know the first book I wrote, I was challenged to do it over a month, and I was heading away overseas for that month. So instead, I wrote it in 4 days. It was four half days. It was over Christmas. So I'd get up at 4 a.m. and I write for until 12 and then leave it and come back. But I had a lot of training material, which meant it was really easy for me to adapt a lot of the things that I had done. I imagine a lot of people are in that same boat. It's not just necessarily what comes out of their head. Resources there already.
Yeah, it's already there. But you'll be surprised how many people say to me, I don't really have anything to write about. So we sit down and it helps that I'm really nosy and I want to know everything about everybody. Tell me about this. Tell me how you got into it. Tell me. And then you have, before you know it, they've got enough material for an entire book. You know, like, you do have a story to tell. Oh, but how do I put it together? Well, that's okay. You've got all your bullet points now. Let's think about some stories. You know, what happened when you were doing this? What happened? Why did you finish that job? Why did you go into business? How's it going? There are so many different stories you can weave through it. I think it's really important to make the book interesting. You know, you can put anything out there, you know, but if you want somebody to read it, then you want them to enjoy it. Excuse me. It's not just about, you know, are you serving people? Are you sharing valuable information? Are you creating a book that somebody doesn't want to put down, you know? And I really love that aspect of guiding and coaching people through that, bringing the stories out and putting them into words that not only make sense, but that entertain. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I get to hear a lot of secrets.
That's the amazing part. I know I run the personal branding and style retreat, and part of what I do is just that one page story, which is a connection with what they're doing and how they want to put themselves out to the world in 1 to 2 A4 pages. But people have amazing stories and share things that it's a blessing to be able to have the opportunity to read it. It's not necessarily something that they're going to have to repeat. And you probably come across this going, oh, are you really comfortable for that to be out in the world? Or would you like
Oh,
to
yeah.
word it for this is the learning from it, or just
Yeah.
experience a bit?
A lot of it, a lot of what people do share with me, I say to people, be as vulnerable as you're comfortable with being. You know, there's some things you don't want to put out in the world, but it's good to know yourself as you're writing that this is the stage that you're standing on. This is where you're coming from. You know, this thing might have happened behind the scenes. You don't necessarily need to tell anybody, but it will color the words that you use on the page. You know, if you had a great experience or a sad experience or a moving experience, whatever it might be, it will definitely come through without having to share the nuts and bolts of that.
Yeah, and that's important when people are thinking, how am I going to put this out in the world? So talking about story, that you don't have an Australian accent, there's
Can
obviously, but getting that was, would writing something as a child that you just did and loved it. It was a it,
Oh, I grew up in Southeast England, a stone's throw from London. And I grew up in a house without books. My mom did not
without
like,
books.
we didn't have books. Back in the day, back in the deepest, darkest 70s, I don't know if you had them here in Australia, but Smarties came in a tube. And on the tube, there was a plastic lid, and underneath there was always a letter. So my sister and I learned how to read and write and spell by collecting these lids from the Smartie tubes.
Oh my goodness. Just before you went to school or
We were doing that before
wow.
school. And then when we went to school, the teacher would read stories as they do, but there was always kind of this dissidence. I never felt really engaged with the stories. But what I did do, what my friends and I, well, what I forced my friends and my cousins and my sister into, were lots of make-believe stories. You know, we would be mummies and daddies, or we would be old ladies, you know, going down to the shops, or we would make something up. There was always a story around something. And it's only now that I look back on that, I'm like, God, I really missed not having these stories to share. You
Yeah.
know, reading, as soon as I went to high school, actually, when you start reading by yourself, don't you really? They give you your books that you have to read and then write a long essay about. I was the only one in the class that really enjoyed that. I would love that. So it's just one of those things. My mum thought books were untidy, so we just weren't allowed to have them in the house.
Interesting that you've gone into this field. I remember the first book that had the most amount of impact on me was The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and that whole series. I just adored. I still love science fantasy. I absolutely, and I think that's what fostered that love of science fantasy
Yes,
is.
that's the one you started with.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my first, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and the detective ones. I'm trying to think of her, the name of the girl that was the detective that would solved problems or. It'll come to me. But that's my other favorite genre now is that sort of
The
detective
detective.
piece. Yeah.
I do like a good crime novel. And I think the first book that really resonated with me was Of Mice and Men, which is obviously something you read at school. But I remember getting to the end and cried my eyes out. I had never felt so emotionally attached to a story before. It was just, and it's, I still remember it. I mean, it's so true that you don't remember what anyone says or does. You remember how you felt about the situation or about the story. And I think that's what I like to bring in to my stories. And when I'm coaching and encouraging people to write, bring some emotion into that because people will take that away with them. You know, that's what you'll remember that. Yeah.
That's exactly what I do when I'm teaching speaking is teach people to bring in, how can you bring emotion into that? Is it by the words you use? Is it the way you say the words? Is it the gestures? Is it, you know, the whole body? It's the same.
Yeah.
That's what engages is adding that emotion, whether it's
That's
exciting
right.
or sad or whatever it might be. Yeah.
And there's so much information and so much content out there now. You know, it's like, how do you cut through that? How do you reach people when there are millions of books and, you know, millions of Facebook pages and, you know, and blog posts and everything else? How do you reach people? And yeah, so storytelling is a real fundamental part of all of that.
Yeah, I again, when I'm teaching people pitching, you know, can you deliver a 60-second pitch with a story in it that identifies how you help people and what you do? You know, that, because people will remember that.
Absolutely,
yeah.
yeah.
Rather than
They do.
Saying, I am, I've done, and this is how you do it type of thing.
Yeah.
And I've come across a lot of self-published books that are very much along those lines.
Oh, I know.
Or they get too much into the story of their lives and just get on with it. It's like a boring movie that's I'm sure we can do faster than that.
And I think that's what it is. Self-publishing is now really accessible. I mean, even 10, 15 years ago, it was really expensive. Nobody really knew how to do it. But, you know, it's out there for everybody. And there is a lot of people put a lot of work out without realizing it needs a good polish. You know, I tend not to, this probably sounds a bit strange, but I've learned the hard way. I tend not to work with anyone who tells me they're a brilliant writer. Because as soon as they generally are not, and then they're not open to learning, and they're not open to any kind of editing, or, you know, and it becomes a very difficult process. But I think if you want to put something out there that you want people to read, then, and you're not necessarily a writer, you've never written professionally, then it's like everything else, you need guidance. You know, if you haven't been a public speaker before, you need a speech coach. I mean, even like real high flyers still have coaches. They still work with people. And when someone says to me, I don't need an editor, I'm like, well, do you know, even the top best-selling authors will have editors. In fact, they'll have 4 or 5 editors. You know, it's a huge process.
And it is,
but yeah.
You can't notice things yourself. It's
no,
because you're
you
reading
don't.
What you think you've written or what you expect is written there. I remember when I first showed my book to my PT, and I got her to, I sent along a soft copy, and I said, can you read this through? And she came back with really great feedback. She's part of my audience that it was directed to, which was brilliant. And the one thing that really bothered her the most is the shortening of words. Like, instead of we will, it was will.
Okay.
I'm. And I went through it again, and I thought, no, some places it actually needs to be I'm rather than I am. But I could see what she was saying, that it needed that variety in the written word as well. That
That's
was
right.
such a little thing that you wouldn't think that someone might pick that up. I gave it to quite a few people that came back with different ideas. It was, yeah.
And it's really great that you're open to listen to that. I think it's extremely confronting, particularly when you have sat down and, and written all of these words and you're really proud. And it's such a big achievement to, I mean, writing is not an easy task and, you need discipline. You have to sit down and just do it. And then to show somebody who then has ideas or sees things that you hadn't noticed, it takes courage. It takes a lot of courage. I would like a version of me to help me write a crime novel that I've started. I have had someone read the first chapter and they pulled it apart, and I had to remember that this is what I do to other people. But it was valuable because, like you said, there was things in there that I hadn't thought of or I hadn't seen or that didn't make sense, And I'm like, okay, I'll just sit back now and I'll come back to that another time. But it was a good exercise for me to see it from the other person's point of view,
But
because.
yeah, it's interesting then, isn't it? I've always wondered with fiction, and I'm assuming that every author's different, and particularly with say a crime novel, writing it with the end in mind already, or just play it as you go, and then eventually you'll end up with a child.
I know my story. I know where it's set. I know what the characters are. I know the overarching theme, but I don't know who did it. I don't know. It could be anyone. It's a mystery to me as well. But I always, when people are writing non-fiction, if you write non-fiction, I think you should have a plan and you should know who you're writing for, because it's if you're writing for your business, that's your marketing, but when it comes to writing fiction, I tend not to follow those rules. I tend to just sit down. I've never been brave enough to submit any of my fiction work, I'll be honest with you. I have published a lot of non-fiction articles. When I was traveling, I would send travel articles back to magazines in the UK, and I've done lots of that. But when it comes to fiction, I need a coach.
It's interesting. This morning at the Women's Mastermind group, we talked about our if we didn't have that boundary or blockage that we've put on ourselves, or and we had unlimited finances and unlimited time, but particularly remove those barriers that we have set ourselves, what would that picture look like?
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
a really good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, what
And
would it look like?
take it bigger than you think it can be. And even when you say what you think it is, ask the question again, could it be bigger?
Yeah.
Maybe more?
Is it possible? Yeah, absolutely. That's a really great question to ask. I think if I was in that position, I think I would like to just write. I think I would just write all day long. Maybe publish, maybe not. If I had all the money, it wouldn't matter if I published or not.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't that be amazing to walk past bookshops and see your photo on the front of the book
Oh my
and see
goodness.
that the name, because the big authors, their name is
I
large
know.
letters. It's
It's,
one
yeah, I know exactly. If you're a well-known author, your name comes before the title of your book. I remember when I first wrote for a national magazine back in the UK, it was my first ever article, and I stood in WH Smith's in a line, a long line. I don't know why it was so busy, and the person in front of me opened up the magazine and was reading my article. Oh my, I so wanted to tap her on the shoulder.
That's
But I didn't. I did. I just thought it was to be really silly. But I just, oh, it is the biggest thrill. It is the biggest thrill. And to know that someone is reading and enjoying, or even having a question about. Another great thing about writing for those kinds of magazines is that, people write in and then they'll publish a letter the following month that's around something that you have written about, and it's I guess back in those days when I was doing that in the early 2000s, there wasn't this instant interaction with social media, you know. So you had to wait for a month for somebody to write a letter about your article, and it was early engagement, I guess. A little bit like Facebook, only slow.
And is that is that's going right off track of writing, but is that a problem now that we need this quick self validation for what we do and how we've done it? And look at me, I've done this, or
I think so. I think a lot of it's how many likes do you get? But then having said that, I've just started working with somebody who had never engaged with anything I ever put on social media. But when I spoke to her, she said, "Oh, I've been following you. I've been seeing your posts and I've been watching what you do, and I'd really like to work with you." And I'm like, "Oh, how about that? I thought I was just throwing pebbles in the sand." And it like, oh, so do people really need to interact if they're just looking at
I've
me
had
as a
multiple people
screen
tell me over time, Sharon, that they've been following me, but they have never engaged.
name? Yeah, you
They
just
just.
don't. But there's just so much. There's so much when you're scrolling, and there's a lot of ads these days as well. So it's really hard to kind of get to the nitty-gritty of what you really want to look at, I guess.
Yes. You're not seeing a lot of friends or contacts posts. You're just seeing all of the rubbish ads or
Yeah.
the stuff or something. So yeah, and again, that a way of getting out there differently. And a book is what I've always treated my books as is fancy business cards, because my thing is helping people build their brand. And if you've got a fancy business card like a book,
Yeah.
that's mean, oh, that person must be an expert. And I'm did a proposal for a speaking gig at a conference just this week, and they came back with some other ideas of what they want presented. It looks like I'll be doing it because they've come back and said, "Can you do this?" But one of the things is on style. It's about branding, but just the first impression and the image and clothes. And I work really closely with the stylist Moana Robinson. We've done a lot of work together, so I'm not an expert in that field, but for what they want, I can do that. But then I remembered, oh yes, I went back and said, yes, I even wrote about a chapter in my book, Being Unstoppable, a chapter on that topic. So there's enough information there for people
Yeah.
to help them
Oh,
too.
perfect.
So yeah, it's that credibility, isn't it, that
Oh, absolutely. It's really strange that as soon as you put something, that you've published something, you automatically are seen as being an expert. You must know so much about your topic because you have written about it. And it's interesting what you'd say about using it as a business card. I'm just working with a bunch of business owners on an anthology. So they're all writing a chapter about their business and about what motivates them. And then they'll put it into one book under one theme. And a lot of us are saying, I'm writing in it as well this time. And a lot of us are saying, I'm just going to hand it out. I'm just going to give it to people, so they can see what I'm about and they can see what I've done. And, so it's not always necessarily about selling the book. You probably get a bigger return on your investment by using it as a business card and saying, hey, you want to know what I do? Here's what I do. And not only do you know what you do, but you've written about it. You must be amazing. You go, I
Absolutely. I attend a lot of different networking events. I'm involved in probably, six, seven different groups of different things. And I will often use that when someone says, oh, if anyone's got a raffle prize or anyone's got a prize gift or something, I'll go, oh, yeah, you can have one of my books. And my first book is titled Good Girls Do Sell. And it's really interesting that it's normally a man that wins it. And the amount of people then will comment that a man has won it. And I've actually got a couple of really good Google reviews from men who
That's great.
read the book also. It's
Well, they can see it from a different perspective. The way men and women sell, I imagine, is quite different. I've never been particularly good at selling, so I wouldn't know. But yeah, I have different approaches, so it must be interesting.
Not necessarily. It's
Oh,
all
okay.
about asking the right questions to figure out how you can help somebody. It's just helping people. That's being good at sales is about one, asking the right questions, understanding their problems, understanding how you can help people. And
Yeah,
get that
okay.
right, then you
I
make
need to read your
sense.
book.
You do. So the anthology, I've always been, interested, because that's a good starting point for people who go, I can't write a whole book, isn't it?
I think it's a brilliant starting point. You can just work on 5,000 words. They're the chapters that I offer my writers, simply because you need something that's quite substantial. You want someone to really get their teeth into it. But and it is a really good start, and it's the same process. It's the beginning, the middle, of the end. It's the writing about the technical aspect of what you do and weaving your stories into that. It's exactly the same, but you're doing it on a smaller scale. And I think for perhaps for smaller business, it's a little bit more achievable. It's more affordable, for one thing. And then you can reach out to everybody else's networks, which is really great. You've got 14 people writing, there's 13 networks that you wouldn't necessarily engage with, and everyone's going to be reading your story as well as the person who they're buying the book for. So it works really well as it's a really great marketing tool. And I think that some people will want to put the first chapter of their book in there, and I think, yeah, why not? Just start with this and then, see where it takes you.
No, it's, and as you said, it's really good that you can, if there's 12 people in there, then you're connecting with all of those people that they know. So it's a great way to market that.
It's a really good marketing tool.
What sort of tips do you give for people when you're talking about weave your story through? Because I can imagine going, oh, I don't know what you mean by that.
My top tip is to write two columns, and in one column, put in a list of all the things you want to talk about. So if you're talking about sales, you might talk about building relationships and asking the right questions and things like this. And on this side, think of some stories that have happened over the years, that not only establish you as an expert, but also makes you appear human. I always say it's really good to put a story of failure in there, because people really will connect with that. So you might have, maybe your very, very first sales gig, you walked in, you're so intimidated by the person, and you sat down, you forgot everything you wanted to say, and you blustered and you blundered and you walked away, and it was just the absolute worst thing you'd ever done in your life, and you just wanted to crawl under the table, never come back out again.
My first speaking gig was like that.
So then you weave that in, and then but these are the lessons that I learned. I learned that I needed to be more prepared, perhaps, and I learned that I needed to know a little bit more about the person that I was speaking to. I learned that I should listen rather than keep talking, and different things like that. So then you weave that through. Or you might have a story of, when I was a child and I was playing games with my friends, and we used to play shopkeepers, and I would always upsell them. They wanted carrots, I would always make sure they got apples as well. So everybody has these little stories, and it's only when you really sit down and really think about, well, is it, yeah, it's not relevant. Of course it's relevant, because it'll make people smile, and you'll become extremely relatable,
That's really good advice. That would make it a lot easier for people. And it's really interesting. I tell people to collect anecdotes, which is the same deal. So when you're speaking and you're trying to get a point across,
yeah,
you tell a story about it. It's
yeah, absolutely.
It's the same space, isn't it?
Then you've got that, yeah. And it's having that hook at the beginning. That first paragraph that makes people want to learn more and read more and know more about you, and it could be anything. It could be an anecdote. It could be a piece of information or data or something, but something that makes someone go, oh, I need to know more, So they're the main tips. But it's amazing how many people will say, I've got nothing to talk about. Nothing is exciting. I've been working for 30 years. I'm pretty sure you've got some stories in there somewhere.
And again, it's that voice in their head that's going, you can't do that. That this is not possible.
Yes.
and trying to delete that is, and that's because, you know, when they're a 5-year-old at school, somebody said to them, that's not very good, you're not good at that. And that's something then we hang on to, and we hang on to. And
oh, absolutely. I have been dealing with my fear of public speaking now for a long while. And it's only recently that I realized where it came from. And it came from my English teacher, who made me stand up in the middle of the classroom. And because I would always get an A, because that's my thing. I'm never very good at anything else, but I was always very good at English. And I got an A minus. And she tore strips off me. You know, and it was only really recently when I was talking to somebody, I thought, I think that's where it comes from. You know, that all these years later, it stays with you, you know, and you think, no, I can't do that because that happened. And really, you're just taking on somebody else's thoughts and feelings and whatever was going on in that person's head at the time. You know, they projected that onto you and you've taken that on. It's as simple as that. It's not as simple to overcome it, but it is.
Identifying it is one of the most important factors. And someone spoke the other day on goal setting, but it's the same 3 points that you need to have is an awareness of what something is, except that's what it is, that once you know, well, okay, I can figure that out and work around it, and then take action to change it, whether to get help or whatever that might look like. I know what one of my clients, just on that topic, she was came along to, I'm part of a not-for-profit public speaking group as well, and she came along to that, and she was terrified. She couldn't get up. I think she was 4 seconds to just say a name and sat down again. And then within a few months, she delivered a 45-minute workshop, and now she can speak anywhere at any time. But what it came down to, and she's a kinesiologist, so once she figured out, she was able to remove it easier. And when she was at school, she was a real chatterbox until a teacher pulled her up. She was 5-year-old. A teacher pulled her up to the front of the classroom, pulled out her tongue, put a pair of scissors on her tongue, and said, if you ever keep talking like that, I'm going to cut it off. So she never talked again in class, and then she never learnt properly. So she's dyslexic, or she didn't read a book until she was watching as a mother watching an Oprah show, and it was one of the like a Neil Donald Walsh type of person, and she read the book and then started reading after that. But what would take us, to, you know, if we sat down and just read it, we'd probably be done in a day or 2 days. It took months to get through it, but now, you know, that's something that she's achieved.
It's a huge achievement to overcome that, you know, because most of the time you don't realize what's going on, you know, and to be aware of that and accept that and overcome that is an incredible achievement. You know, your words are really, really powerful, and I don't think we realize just what we say to our kids. Even innocently, we could say something to them, you know, that they will carry with them. You know, I have to be, I've got 2 young boys, and I'm very aware of what I say to them. And sometimes I say things and I say, I need to talk about what I just said to you, because I'm not quite sure if it was the right thing to say. Like, oh my goodness, how much is this going to cost me in therapy when they get older, you know?
it is important, but it's also important what we say to ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of our internal thoughts do come out in our writing as well. And that's a really magical thing that happens, you know. And sometimes as you write, you don't even realize that, oh, hang on a second. Yeah, I get that. I've been saying that to myself for ages, and you've projected that onto a character or something. And it's really clever how our minds work. And it all comes out into words on a page.
Yeah. And that goes back to journaling too, doesn't it? A lot more people do journaling now. So that would give you thoughts and ideas on. I've never felt the need to do it. Yeah. It's not a thing. I write a blog a week, and I'm constantly writing content and doing things. It's not necessarily about me, but it sort of is. But mine's using speaking instead,
you know? Yes, yeah, absolutely. Space. Yeah,
But I know a lot of people who do journal and absolutely love it and find a whole lot of value in it. So even that is, you know, a starting point too.
Absolutely, yeah. It's definitely, you're still writing, you're getting used to putting your thoughts into words. I don't journal, but I do keep a gratitude diary.
Okay, yeah.
That I have done. You mentioned Oprah earlier. I think Oprah first talked about it about 20 years ago. I'm like, that's a really good idea, you know, yeah, to do that. So yeah, I do that. And I do think that sometimes it's just, if I want to write a blog, it's just about just throwing words down and seeing what comes out. You know, I'm a big fan of the spider diagram. You know, you have like, I've got to write a blog on public speaking. So here it is in the middle. You know, what do I know about that? And then pulling it all together. Because a lot of the time you'll think about something that would never have occurred to you otherwise, if you were trying to be too logical about it. You know, writing is as creative as drawing, I think, and design and things like that. It is a very creative process.
Definitely. And that's what I, you know, when I mentioned about anecdotes, when I tell people when they first start speaking, collect them, write them down, store them up, put them as, well, that's a relevant one for, and I did this originally, that's a relevant one for speaking, that's a relevant one for sales, that's a relevant one for being confident, you know.
Yeah.
And now I don't, because I just, they just come out.
Yeah, you're just used to it now.
And thank you, wherever that comes from, it'll find the right things. But if you're not sure, think about the things and start collecting those moments.
Yeah.
When you do come to write something, go, oh yeah, I remember that. I've got this list of things that happened.
Yeah.
That's great.
Even if you think about, you know, if you are writing about your business, think about the first time you did something. Perhaps you're a graphic designer, and you know, the very first time you worked with a client, or the very first time you learned a program or something. It's always going to be something around something. You know, I love my job to bits. I love what I do, but I really hate formatting. Oh my God. I am formatting a book at the moment, and it is the last time I ever format a book, because I am so bad at it.
I'm sure there's VAs for that.
I think there must be. Yeah. I will find that person who can do the formatting.
I'm with you. That was my thing with my book, and it just, yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah. So, but you know, there's always something about something. There's always a story to tell about something, you know. And I heard a talk today from somebody who started with a, "Do you like my jacket?" And we were like, "It's very smart," you know. So he had this big story about how it was $600, and he didn't really have $600, but he really wanted the jacket. So he went and bought it, and a week later, he saw that it was half price in the sale. So he went back. He demanded $300 back, and he got it. He got the $300 back. But that's how he started his talk. You know, he was talking about money and business and things. And I'm like, that's a really cool story to start with. Especially he had something visual to show us, because he had his jacket on.
That's really cool. And you know, doing all of this and writing a book, as well as running a business and a family and everything else that goes on in life, how do people find time? I mean, how do you, I mean, part of you is yours is what you do for business anyway, but you're still a writer also.
Oh, time management is really, really important to me. And it's really just something that I'm just getting to grips with, in all honesty. This is the first week that I have just worked 4 days. I am a 4 day a week girl now, because I need 3 days a week to organize my boys and my family and to kind of calm my head. I find if I'm all frantic and I'm trying to do everything at the same time, nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. And you know, my office is at home, and it's really easy to for the lines between business and family to get too blurred. So I find that this 4 day week is going to be a really good way forward for me. But at the same time, they say, don't you, if you do something you love, you never work a day in your life, you know, and I do really love it. And it doesn't feel like a job. I don't really feel, I never have that, oh, I've got to do this today. I've got to do that today, you know. So that's obviously much, much easier than actually having a physical job to go to.
Yeah, Sharon, it's a balance of stuff and every stage of your life. How old are your boys?
My boys, next week, they'll be turning 10 and 13.
Mm. So they're still, and that's for anyone listening, it's stages. You know,
yes.
My boys are 40 and 38. Okay.
Oh, wow. And they're still your boys, though, aren't
they're
they?
They're still my boys. And then, you know, there's the grandchildren as well, and family's really important to me. It's a different stage, though. They're not my responsibility. It's
no.
social time with them. It's a different space. And accepting
yeah.
that you can do what you can do with the time resources that you've got and figure out the priorities. I think you're very smart doing it. Okay, so those 3 days are the focus with getting other stuff done, because otherwise I'm madly having to maybe pick up from something from school or go to the dentist or get the shopping or the whatever, the footy game. You know, you really want to make sure that, and that's something that I encourage people to do and have done all the way through my career.
And it is, and it's everybody loses out if you're trying to be everything to everybody all the time. You know, the business does, but the business doesn't get the attention it needs. The boys don't get the things that they need. And even though they're getting older and it's much easier for me, they still need me. You know, they do still need me, which I like. I'm kind of going through this grief process of my older one not needing me quite so much anymore, but that's okay. That's
they eventually come back with grandkids and they need you, but you don't want that for many years ahead for you. But
no, I'm not quite ready yet. But I do. I like the freedom of having this business. I like the freedom of knowing that, okay, on Tuesday I can take the boys to school, I can go to their parade, and then I can come back and then I can have a meeting with my new client, or I can do this coaching session, or you know, I love being able to do that.
Yeah,
you know, it's just I have to be very organized. I have to know, and I have to have food in the fridge, and I have to have my calendar all full and in place, so I know exactly what I'm doing, otherwise it all falls apart.
and that's the thing with the writers and you know, people trying to do anything in business, is just being really organized. I have a saying that I am very organized, so I can be flexible.
Yeah, that's a good saying. I like that.
And it makes a big difference. And someone says, can you do this? And it's sure, because I've got the other things done that I wanted to have done. So
absolutely. And and being flexible in business is really, really important, because you never know what's going to come up next. You know, if you're rigidly saying this is what I do, this is how I do it, this is when I do it, then you're going to miss all these other opportunities that come through. So it's good to be in a position where you can say yes to things.
Yeah, and I like saying yes to the fun things.
Yeah.
So wrapping up now, the takeaways for anyone interested in writing, what would you put out as three takeaways for them?
Okay. So if you're interested in writing, you need a discipline. You need time management. You need a discipline. When I'm writing something that's long, you know, maybe an ebook. I had an ebook come out recently. I will sit down at 5 a.m. every morning and write for 1 hour. You know, that doesn't suit everybody. Some people will want to do maybe half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening, but always have a set time and have a set place where you go to write. And you can say to your family, you're not allowed in here because this is my writing time for the next half an hour.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think you network with other writers, talk to other writers, see what they've written, why they've written it, how they've written it. You will always learn something, because everyone's different. And you may well think, that's not for me, but then you'll hear something, you go, oh, wow, tell me more. How did you do that? I've got to write 60,000 words and I don't know where to start.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think so. And the other thing, the last thing is just be kind to yourself. You know that you're going to have days where you've got writer's block. You're going to have days where you sit down and you're so frantic and frustrated about something else that's going on. That's okay. You know, just be kind to yourself. It'll come. It'll come when it's ready.
No, they're all great and I'm just thinking about the things, you know, having written a couple of books, they're all things that I put into practice. It's just exactly that. And the discipline one in particular. So then great tips. Sharon, if anyone's interested in learning more about how they might write a book or part of an anthology, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, they can get in touch with me through either email or my social media. My Facebook tag is Manuscript Marketplace. LinkedIn, Sharon Hawthorne, and my web address is manuscriptmarketplace.com.au.
Excellent.
Pretty easy. Just think about. Sorry.
I was going to say that all the details will be in the show notes.
Yeah, well, they'll all be there, and just think of that alliteration. Then good to go. But yeah, I always want to talk to new people, and I'm always very keen to talk to people before they make a commitment or a decision, because you know it's a very personal thing, and as I said, you know, I do take a lot of, I hear a lot of things that people may not want to share otherwise, so people have to know they can trust me and they can work.
Such an important factor, that the person that you've got trust in privacy, trust in that they're going to get the job done, that you're going to have the result that you want. That's such an important factor of that. I love that. Thank you so much for your
time. Thank you.
It's been really interesting learning more about you and the business. And what Sharon said before you start anything about writing, then make sure you do get in touch with her. That's the same thing I want to say about when you're stepping into business or making business decisions. Please book a strategy call with me. Go to JeaneVosper.com. And I guarantee if I'm not the person for you, I will recommend somebody that I know. And I've got a broad network of people that will be able to find someone that can assist you. So make sure you do that first before you find people they've laid out thousands and thousands of dollars, and it just might not be what you need to be doing for your business at this time.
Absolutely.
So check in with me, and I look forward to you joining me next time on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Jeaneen's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.